I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is Football Social Daily, Premier League podcast.
Welcome to the award-winning Premier League podcast, Football Social Daily, and it was a poor night in Europe for both Premier League sides. Arsenal dumped out at the Allianz as they lose to Bayern Munich, and Manchester City bettered by Madrid on penalties. Bernardo Silva missing, Kovacic missing, and now Manchester City are missing from the semi-final stage of the Champions League. We'll talk about last night's fixtures in the quarterfinals of the competition on today's Football Social Daily, as well as the conundrum that Premier League sides will now face, that there may be one less European spot to fight for between now and the end of the season. My name's Niall. Thanks for joining us on the show today. And as always, I've got Joel Tudor and Marley Anderson with me. How are you doing, lads?
Good morning.
Good morning. Looks like that Champions League spot is all but gone now for my team, if there ever was a chance.
There was no chance you were finishing fifth. But I suppose we probably should start there, because it's not great news for Tottenham Hotspur, and probably not great news either for Aston Villa, even though they're the team in fourth at the moment. And I've always said this, Marley. I've always said, don't leave anything to chance. You can't be relying on things happening outside of your control to try and secure a spot in the Champions League. But that will send a few jitters through North London that would have been celebrating on one hand that Arsenal are out, but probably would have been a little bit concerned that that might erode a chance of Spurs getting in the Champions League next season.
I don't think Spurs give too much of a toss, really, because as long as Arsenal are out, they're more than happy. As Eric Dier proved in his interview after the game, went last night when Bayern won, he said the word nice 9 times in 16 seconds, which was incredible. Quite an output there from him, but yeah, Spurs fans will be buzzing, obviously. But as you said, I'm in total agreement. You've got to finish in the top four to get in the Premier League. If you're going at it like, oh, well, you know, fifth will be all right, you know, you're leaving it to chance. Don't leave it to chance. You know, don't leave anything to chance. Take it in your own hands and win that race for the top four. It's always been top four in the Premier League, as far as I can remember, because our coefficient has always been so good. But with this new Champions League next year, obviously somebody gets an extra place, and England have promptly dropped the ball on it, because Atalanta are smashing Liverpool. You know, Villa are the only ones left, really. West Ham are going out, and City and Arsenal are out last night. So, yeah, bit of a mess, but it is what it is.
I don't want to reopen old wounds here, but you know I wound up the whole of the Old Firm about 2 weeks ago. Scotland have dropped out of the top 10 in the UEFA coefficient rankings, which means they lose their automatic Champions League place.
I'll put that on TikTok, mate. I'll see if you win you some Scottish lads back. I doubt it somehow.
No, but all the Turkish and Austrian football fans would be like, go on, we get our Champions League place,
mate,
back.
If you're going to have anyone on the side, on your side, it's Turkish football fans. They will quite literally, you know, fight for you.
Well, the Champions League final last year was in Turkey, in Istanbul, but this year it's in London. And let's start with a London club, Arsenal, who were knocked out of the Champions League by Bayern Munich last night. They lost the second leg of their quarterfinal at the Allianz. Another tight game between two sides who have probably had contrasting seasons in terms of their domestic form. Arsenal, of course, still going for the Premier League title and well in the race. Bayern Munich have just lost that Bundesliga crown to Bayer Leverkusen after winning it 10 years on the trot or something silly. And actually, Harry Kane mentioned in his post-match interview exactly what we said yesterday. Bayern Munich know that this is the only bit of hope they can cling on to this season. We asked on yesterday's podcast, will they play that way against Arsenal? Do you think they did, or do you just think they showed that European nous to grind out the result?
I think they were marginally better than Arsenal. I don't think Arsenal showed up, especially in the second half, and especially when they went 1-0 down as well. They literally had barely any attempts on goal. And I've seen a lot of people, especially some Arsenal fans, be very complimentary towards the Arsenal team. Even the Arsenal admin I was shocked at what they said, where they said, what was it, something along the lines of, what a brave, a run to be proud of. What is there to be proud of, having a group stage and beating Porto, Sevilla, and then two other pretty bum sides?
Probably because they didn't have their pants pulled down by Bayern this time, which represents an improvement compared to Arsenal's previous record against
them. Well, if you get your pants pulled down or your ass crack still out, like, you know, you've still been done by them. Like, even though it's, you know what I mean? Like, if like in previous years, they've bagged them and everything spilled out, whereas this time it's just a little one, but it's still the same. You're still embarrassed in public, aren't you? You know what I mean?
Still a full moon regardless.
Exactly.
No, but you know what? Do you remember when I said to you guys, I think it was just before the last 16 draw, and I said, Arsenal have to be getting to the semi-finals. It's failure if they don't get there. The reason I said that was because not only are Arsenal very good at the moment, but the landscape of European football meant that there was almost a clear path for them. This Bayern Munich side are in disarray. Like, let's not beat around the bush. They are so far from how good they usually are. And that's why when I looked at this draw prior to them actually playing it, I was thinking, what an amazing opportunity to kind of exercise all that rubbish that they've been going through in their history playing Bayern and really make their mark on European football. And I've seen so many people say, yeah, but it's the early time in Arteta's tenure still and they're getting better and better. It's encouraging signs. What a victim mentality to have. Like, this is one of the best opportunities they might have to get to the semi-final of the Champions League in years, because I can guarantee you next season, Bayern Munich will be coming back even better with a new manager. Then you'll probably see Barcelona even better. And then some of the English clubs. There'll be loads of clubs who improve next season on this season. And that's why I'm kind of confused into thinking, why are we giving Arsenal sympathy for having a nice, encouraging run? You know, giving, you know, like that kid in class where you tried, giving them the you tried star. A load of rubbish.
Yeah. They've been more competitive, though, and I think that's the perspective that the Arsenal fans are taking. They've given Bayern Munich a better game than they have done in previous years, and I think that that's the solace that they're taking.
It's not enough. Like, if you want to be the best, you've got to beat the best. As Arsenal found out when they lost the Champions League final to Barcelona, you want to be the best, you've got to beat the very best in the competition. And they come up against the Bayern side, who are about to get the 12th consecutive title taken away from them by Leverkusen, and the manager's going at the end of the season. Look at the two different scenarios. Bayern didn't even have Kingsley Coman or Gnabry on the left wing. They had Guerrero at left wing, and they're talking about Arsenal not having enough depth. Bayern were having a pretty second string side there in some areas. I cannot understand that mentality, honestly. That might be the reason why Arsenal never won a European trophy.
At least we're not seeing Arsenal fans complain about the double deflection from Martin Ødegaard's shot where they should have had a corner in the 83rd minute and they weren't given it. You know, you never know. That might have gone in. Who knows, boys?
I'll tell you, I'm glad you mentioned a corner then, because the last kick of the game was Bukayo Saka's corner and Raya comes up and it is the worst corner I've ever seen.
Oh, it didn't beat the first man, did
it? It looked like a guy taking a corner with his weak foot, because it barely had the power to reach the six-yard box. And there's a fella obviously defending the front corner of the six-yard box. And he's, I don't know who it was, but he's almost laughing when it comes to him. He's like, oh my God, this is a gift. And he just powers it away. The whistle goes and the game's over. But, you know, Rayo is even up from the back and it didn't get anywhere near him. By the way, Rayo's probably the smallest goalkeeper in the Premier League, which is hilarious because he's sending up for corners, but he's a body. So at least try and aim something for the chaotic Spaniard who's on his travels up there.
So, you know, we've had Pat Nevin, former Scotland, Everton and Chelsea player, on the podcast in previous years. He actually did a very good analysis piece maybe 5 or 6 years ago now about the reason corners don't get past the first man. And he came up with a number of theories for the players. But I also feel like when you're getting paid 120 grand a week, there's no excuse not to beat the first man from a corner. Now, listen, players make mistakes all the time. And yes, that was a pressured situation. But we see it so often in professional football. So frustrating. One of the most frustrating things. It's one of the things in football where you look and you think, I could have done a better job than that.
Mate, if I put a corner in at Sunday League and I don't, and then it hits the first man, what's the first thing you hear? Like, you instantly make it beat the first man. Just beat the first. You even hear it before you kick it. You know, beat the first man, overcompensate if you can. You know, put
you'd
it
rather
to the
go too long. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and at least then someone's got a chance to go and get it before it goes out, you know.
And the fact some Champions Leagues have been won based on a corner.
Oh, come on, I knew this was coming.
Are you talking about Chelsea against Bayern?
Well, they didn't win it off that, did they? They equalised.
Mm,
Right then.
I think you're talking about Chelsea Bayern.
I wonder what you're talking about here, Joel.
I don't know. You tell me, boys. I don't know. I can't think of an amazing final.
Joel's memory of himself as a 4-year-old or 2-year-old or whatever you were in 99.
That's only three.
Oh, three? God.
That's no
the man that said he was jealous of these teams yesterday is now clinging on. They're both out in Europe. There's no shame on him.
I wondered
how
he'd claw it back to Man United.
Well, I had to before you did, Marley, so...
Well, you were gloating a little bit in the group chat, and if you haven't joined the Telegram group, you can for free. The link is in the description. Hit that link, download the app. As I say, it's free to join. And there was plenty of chat yesterday about those two Champions League games with Arsenal and Manchester City. And I said that I would talk about my hot take from last night on today's podcast, and it was a hot take. So if I've not annoyed one set of supporters already today, I'll definitely annoy another, because is there a case to suggest that Mikel Arteta is becoming the next Pochettino? Controversial, I know, because they're two managers with different allegiances on either side of North London. But what I mean by that is Pochettino was praised with the way he went into Tottenham, rebuilt the club, put them on a footing in which they were competitive at the top end of the table, qualifying for Champions Leagues, being in the running for the title at times, got to a Champions League final and lost it, but ultimately never won a trophy, playing an attractive brand of football with some really exciting young players, Son, Kane, etc. How about comparing that with Mikel Arteta and what we see now? Because at the moment, Arsenal are the bridesmaids, not the brides. They keep falling short. Arsenal, yes, have won an FA Cup under Mikel Arteta, so immediately that puts him above Pochettino in terms of trophies won. But when it comes to the last two or three seasons, Arsenal under Arteta have played nice football. They've been hard to beat. They've won games at a canter at times. They've gone deep into competitions, but ultimately never really got the job done, never got over the line, and arguably in a position now where we're saying, much like Joel was, that they should be doing better, even though they're coming up against sides like Bayern Munich, who are European heavyweights. Yes, it's a hot take, but what do you make of that theory?
It's got legs. In fairness, you're not backing, you're not just plucking. I mean, you do sometimes pluck things out the air and run with them, but you know what I mean? Like this one, obviously you're writing off Pochettino a bit. He could go on to win plenty of things in his career, although, you know, at the minute, the tag that sticks is you've not won anything. You got to the Champions League final and blew it. You got to PSG and you didn't win. He didn't win everything, and he didn't win the Champions League, which is what PSG are all about. I don't know. For me, I think Pochettino's too nice to go and manage a club which should be winning things. And I think at PSG, when I think they didn't win the league in the first season, and then they won it in his second season, if I remember rightly, he seems like he did so well with Spurs because they all liked him and they all played for him, and that's fine and that's great, but ultimately they didn't win, and that is what will stick with him. And then the next season the heads went down, and I think they thought their shot was taken, and that was the hangover was there. They ended up 13th and sacking him or whatever whatever position he was in when they pulled the trigger. But I think he's a little bit nice. So when you're a big club that can win things, you've got to manage the big egos and you've got to be ruthless. I'm not quite sure he is, but Arteta for me, I think he has definite characteristics of that, but he's so desperate to win, and that's why he acts like an absolute tit on the sidelines week in, week out. I think he's got slightly more, and I think Arsenal will win things. And as I said on, I think it's Tuesday's podcast or yesterday's podcast, Saturday, the holidays are in one when you got a 6-week old, but it is what it is. I said that this Arsenal team will be better for the experience, whether they win, lose or draw, as they've been better this season in the Premier League when they came so close to winning it and knacked it up last season. So next year, Arsenal could go further. But again, if they don't, then that tag will definitely stick off. Arteta is never... He hasn't got the bottle or the character to win big things. So it's a hot take, but for now, it could. But that's what a hot take is. You know, it will be proved in time. But you're not completely off the rails, in my opinion.
Well, Arsenal are out of the Champions League, beaten by Bayern Munich at the quarter-final stage. Will that strengthen their bid to win a first Premier League title in two decades? Only time will tell. What we also know is that the Premier League have lost Manchester City from the competition, the current holders of the Champions League, out to the team that have won it more times than anyone else, Real Madrid. It took a penalty shootout to separate them, and we'll talk about it next on Football Social Daily.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is FSD, Football Social Daily. Thanks for listening and thanks for your support as well. I know that there are loads of you that we don't always get to see or speak to, whether that be on social media or you've left a comment somewhere, but we always appreciate your support, especially those of you that are subscribed or following this podcast. That really helps us. And so does leaving a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Let us know what you think. We always love to hear your feedback. All of the links to the social media pages are in the description, and you can join the free-to-join Telegram group, which is there as well. Now, though, we're going to talk about the other Premier League side that fell foul of defeat in the Champions League quarterfinals yesterday. Manchester City, the defending champions, had Real Madrid at the Etihad. 3-3, finally poised, two of the best teams in Europe, one who are the current holders of the competition, another the old stages, the old timers, the kings of Europe, you could say, Real Madrid. What did you make of it all?
Yeah, I watched this game and it was so clear to see how Real Madrid and Ancelotti have learned from last year. Completely different setup where they were so compact. Quite strange to see a Real Madrid side so deep and sitting and just waiting for that transition. They were really a threat on the counter-attack with Vinicius Junior and Rodrigo for the majority of the game. But City controlled it completely. And we saw Rodrigo after the game, a little bit entitled in my opinion, saying only one team came to play football, to paraphrase. But this is what the Champions League is. If you want to go and win the competition, you cannot expect to be playing beautiful, expansive football in every single round. Sometimes you've got to do the dirty work. And even Jude Bellingham alluded to it after the game, where he said Ancelotti was giving the players some instructions of like marking or getting back and covering spaces that they're not necessarily used to. Which told me that Ancelotti had to adapt to Manchester City, which is normal. I mean, they are the reigning champions, one of the best teams in the world. You can't just go ahead and play your own game sometimes. Sometimes you have to accept.
Ancelotti is a top, top manager. And in an era where we hear all about Pep Guardiola and all about Jose Mourinho and Jurgen Klopp, Ancelotti is, if you're building a Mount Rushmore of 21st century managers, I think he has to be on it. Because he is, I think he's still underrated as a manager. It's a man who's won Champions Leagues, managed Real Madrid, AC Milan. We even mentioned he had that little stint to Everton. He got them playing ball. He had them top of the league for a while, winning against Liverpool for the first time in 20 years. This man is an incredible manager. Incredible.
Yeah, he deserves his flowers, Ancelotti, and the different eras that he's won in, not only as a player where he won a lot, but also as a manager as well. In so many great Real Madrid and AC Milan teams, like the majority of his teams are the most memorable teams I can think of. And he's doing it yet again with this Madrid side. And I think overall, maybe Manchester City will feel a little bit hard done by, but they were just not clinical at all. Haaland was a ghost throughout the majority of the game. Kevin De Bruyne got taken off prior to full time. And it just felt like, as the game went on, you just felt like Madrid were going to end up taking it. It just felt like whoever had the longest stamina, like almost like in a boxing fight, the one who is known to be the one who can last at the very end and get the sucker punch will win it. I mean, of course, penalties, some of the penalties were absolutely poor, especially from Bernardo Silva, who got called by his bluff. But I think overall, just shows just how difficult it is to retain the Champions League. I mean, one team has done it in the modern era, which is Real Madrid. And for Manchester City not to be able to do it, and they're like a very, very good team, for Madrid to do it three times in a row just shows just how amazing they are as a football club, but just how difficult it actually is.
I agree with that. But I said yesterday on the podcast, Manchester City sometimes have these days. And a few years ago, it was always criticism of Pep Guardiola overthinking. I don't think that was the case tonight, Marley. I just think that was a case of Manchester City missing their chances. Kevin De Bruyne is one of the best midfielders in world football. Missed two really good chances. And Manchester City had a number of opportunities to win the game. They didn't take them. So you can talk about tactics, coming up with a game plan, but we always go back to that old cliche at times. If you don't take your chances, you're not going to win a match. And I feel like that was an age-old case of if you don't take your chances, you will not win the game.
Yeah. I mean, before I kick off on that, Joel, I've got a question for you. Are Real Madrid now the best team out of possession in the world?
You'll have to ask all those Arsenal fans. I mean, they're going to have a big argument for that.
Right, I tell you what, before you even answer my first question, I'm going to jump in there because I've got a question. Rodri, after the game, speaking to the media, he was speaking about how there was only one team trying to play the game, one team trying to play football. I hate that so much. I hate that. It's awful to hear a player of that quality come out and say they weren't trying to play the right way, etc., etc. You're just frustrated that you couldn't break them down and you didn't take your chances. There is no right or wrong way to play football. We might all enjoy a more attractive style. We might all enjoy when the ball's being popped around, cut back, and beautiful goals are scored. But sometimes smashing it long, digging in, low block, getting your body in the way, all of that sort of stuff, it works. And it works for Real Madrid last night. I'm not saying they were playing Route 1 or anything like that. But the point I'm trying to make is there is no hard and fast way to get a result in a football match. Because in these sorts of games, all that matters is that you win and you go through. That is all that matters. And that is why Jose Mourinho was a master of this sort of stuff. And everyone says he's negative and defensive. He wins things using that method. And as I say, the game is about glory, and Real Madrid know that. They've won the title more times than anyone else in the Champions League. Just win the game, and Real Madrid found a way to do it. So, Rodri, I know it's a Thursday, but get in the sea, because you're better than that.
Just before Marley jumps in, I'd go to an amazing quote that Mourinho said about that. I think it was after when he beat Guardiola's team in 2011, where he said, "You take the ball, we'll take the 3 points," I think was the actual quote. But exactly that. Knockout football is about going through no matter what, at any expense, whether it's changing your play style, changing your player tactics. All that matters is getting through in glory, like you say. And there's a reason why Real Madrid have 14 Champions Leagues. And there's a reason why City have only got one. Granted, they've started quite late. Because Real Madrid will win no matter what the cost. Ancelotti in that game moved his pride aside. Some managers are not capable of doing that. The managers who are not capable will never win that many that Ancelotti's done. Why? Because he accepts that Manchester City are better on the ball than Real Madrid are at the moment. That's fair enough. And then who's the one going through and who's the one who just lost their Champions League title? Manchester City.
Well, I'm so glad Joel said the word pride there in that answer, because that's exactly what it was. It's, you know, Real Madrid being humble enough to say, these lot are bloody good at football, so we're going to come up with a possession, a tactic that doesn't rely on possession, and we're going to hit them on the counter-attack. You know, you mentioned the boxing thing. If you're facing Mike Tyson, you don't get in a phone box and start brawling with him. You stay the hell away from him for a bit, and you try and wait till he's tired and you hit him on the counter. If you can, you probably get knocked out 9 times out of 10, but that 1 time out of 10, you're all right. And it reminded me of a quote, Jorge Sampaoli, when he was Chile manager. And he said, "One night I went to a bar. I was with a woman. We talked all night. We laughed. We flirted. I paid for several drinks of hers. At around 5 a.m., a guy came in, grabbed her by the arm and took her to the bathroom. He made love to her and she left with him. That doesn't matter because I had possession for most of the night."
Only a South American manager could come up with that.
That is football. That is Real Madrid last night.
What a quote. I've never heard that before. That is awesome.
Have you never heard that, mate?
Never heard that.
It's so perfect, isn't it? It's absolutely spot on, because you don't need the ball to win. You know, you don't, like, I know, sorry, I always take things back to Newcastle on this podcast, but look at us at the weekend, 27% possession against Spurs. We won 4-0. We were the better team despite having barely any of the ball. And you could argue that Real Madrid were the better team last night because they had a plan and the plan worked. Therefore, did they deserve to win the game? Does anyone deserve to win the game on penalties? Who knows? That's another debate. But there was a lot of holes in City's game last night. I don't think they created many chances, many clear chances, other than the one where De Bruyne put it over the bar and he should score.
It was a defensive masterclass by Madrid. Let's just call it what it is. They were awesome at in defence.
There was two moments for me where it was obvious Real Madrid were going to win by hook or by crook. And one was when Haaland's header came back off the bar and Bernardo Silva can't judge it and he can't react to it and control it and score into an empty net. And the second one was when Nacho was under that much pressure, he dribbled past his own goalkeeper, somehow didn't get clipped by Lunin. Like, how many times can you go past a goalkeeper clean without somebody, you know, catching you? And he clears it off the line when Erling Haaland's wearing him, he's wearing him like a backpack.
Oh, yeah.
And he clears it off the line. And I'm thinking, this isn't City's night.
But it's easy for me to say this because I'm not a centre forward at the calibre of any professional player, let alone Erling Haaland. But I did think that showed a little bit of the growing that Haaland needs to do. And I won't talk about Haaland in terms of he was anonymous, some people say, or he was occupying defenders, say others. That's not what I'm trying to get at here. What I'm getting at is there's only one place that Nacho can clear that ball. And instead of Erling Haaland trying to cut off the angle and just taking a gamble, he just tries to hound him, gets behind him, gets touch tight and almost tries to force the ball into the net. It gives Nacho an angle to clear the ball away. If he actually peels off and goes to his left a little bit and tries to close down the angle, Nacho is only going to clear that on his right foot. So all he needs to do is get big and get his body in the way and he might end up deflecting the ball into the goal. But there we go. That's just a small observation from an interesting game last night, which finished on penalties. Bernardo Silva's penalty, we're not going to talk about that too much because I think it looks terrible when those don't come off. And I think we can all agree that had that gone in, everyone's saying great penalty, but they just look terrible, don't they? And down the middle, I think, isn't always the worst place to go. I actually think it's great goalkeeping and very brave to stand up because the same can be flipped to a goalkeeper. If the goalkeeper doesn't dive and the ball goes either side of him because he stood up straight waiting for the one down the middle, everyone looks at him and goes, why the hell didn't you dive? I think it works both ways. It's just strange because you don't see it too often.
I just think if you're a goalie, like if you stand still for five penalties, you save one. And if you go to your left for all five penalties, you save it. You save one. You might save two because they'll all be thinking, he's dived left four times. Surely he's not going to dive left a fifth time. But it's the mind games. It's tough. And, you know, Bernardo might as well have chipped it. And if he chips it, we all go, what's he trying to Panenka for? But he did the same thing. Like, a chip goes exactly where his side-footed terrible shot goes, but it happens. Everyone misses penalties, and whether it hits the post and bounces across the line, hits the other post and comes out, or it hits the goalkeeper in the balls and comes out, or it goes into row Z, they're all misses. Doesn't matter.
And also, don't let anyone tell you that penalty shootouts are a lottery, because they absolutely are not. The old German mentality of you have an opportunity to win the game by scoring more penalties than the other team. It is not a lottery. Yes, someone has to miss for someone to win a penalty shootout. That's just the way that the game works, the way the system works. But it's not a lottery. It is not a lottery. You can take control of the situation and win the match. So go and do it. That's the way I see things. But anyway, Real Madrid beat Manchester City on penalties. They are out of the Champions League. Real Madrid through to the semis. I wonder how that frames the Premier League title race with two teams in Arsenal and Man City hurting, wounded by their European defeats. It's all getting exciting now as we enter that final stage of the Premier League season. We'll be back on Monday with another episode looking back at the weekend's action. Of course, it's FA Cup semi-final weekend, both Manchester City and Manchester United in action against Coventry and Chelsea, respectively. And speaking of the FA Cup, it's been decided that from next season, they're going to scrap FA Cup replays. I'm not happy about it, and we'll talk about that on Monday's podcast as well. But from us, that's all for today on FSD. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you the other side of that.
Football Social Daily is a Voice Work Sport production for the Sports Social Podcast Network.